Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
We're back. I mean, it hasn't been that long, but it sure feels like it. So I'm back, you're back, we're both back, we're here.
Everybody's back.
We're recording. What?
Kayla's not back. I was saying Kayla's not back.
Oh, no, we wish. We loved Kayla last week. Kayla, if you're listening, then we loved you. You were phenomenal. And I hope all of y'all liked her too.
Since when do you say y'all?
I'm literally just starting it now.
I don't know if it fits.
Okay, so I hope you guys liked it too. I was like blown away. I thought that she was phenomenal.
I thought so too. I had a really fun time last week. If you didn't listen to that episode, I don't know why you'd be on this episode, but like, go back and give that one a listen because it was great.
Maybe people only listen to odd episodes because they want to hear me talk about Fashion Hour, not you.
That would hurt my feelings. Also, I think we both always talk about the fashion, so I don't know what they would be gaining out of that. That would be such a weird strategy.
I don't know.
They're missing out on all these, you know, even escapades that happen.
Are you the type of person that like prefers an odd or an even number?
I would say, well, my favorite number is 12, but like beyond that, I do feel like I would like an odd number better.
I like odd numbers better. My friend really hates odd numbers. Like, she thinks that they're all cursed. So she prefers even numbers.
Okay.
I'm just bringing up a subject.
Odd numbers are cursed.
She doesn't like them. She thinks that they have like bad juju or something.
I think that's just like a mentality thing.
Well, I mean, I'm not agreeing
with
her.
What sign is she? Is she an Aquarius?
She's a Cap.
That's weird. Usually they're not like, interesting.
I don't know.
It's just that was astrology hour.
Astrology hour. Yes. Astrology millisecond.
Okay. So update on what I'm watching this week. I can't remember if I brought this up last time. I feel like I had to have already brought this up, but I'm deep in the dark hole right now. The show Dark. It is so amazing.
I think you did bring it up last week.
Yes. I have binged much of it, and I apologize to people who said that you should watch it slowly. Listen, people, I try. I do my best. But when I want to binge it.
Can you explain why they told you to watch it slowly?
I think it's just because you want to – well, first of all, there's like three seasons and they're like 10 episodes each or something. And I think people want you to like savor it. And it's also one of those shows that has very – like a lot of like theories and like mysteries. And so like the longer you sit with it, the more you can like think about it and theorize about it. But I go into it with the mentality of like, I kind of want to be surprised. Like, I don't want to theorize too much because mm-hmm. I want the surprise of like, oh shit, I can't believe it. So that's why I've been watching it that way. But I think it's different. Like, I'm watching it almost in a bubble. Like, I don't, I'm not like theorizing. I'm not listening to podcasts about it. I'm just like watching it.
All right.
But anyway.
Are you watching it? You're not watching it with Will, right? You said that you weren't.
Mm-mm. On my own. Yeah, that's it's nice. Very good. So I highly recommend. It's not scary. And that's why I didn't originally watch it, because I thought it was going to be scary. But it's not mm-hmm. scary. It's just like really deep. Like there's a lot going on.
All right. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend it for anybody who hasn't seen it. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's like pretty widely known, but it's on Netflix. And always watch the German, them talking in German with the English subtitles. Don't watch the dubbed version.
Interesting. Trash. Okay, that's interesting. That's a hot tip.
Yeah, because it's like it takes away the like emotion of the characters when you listen to the dubbing. You know what I mean? Like it takes away from like their performances.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting? I watch all of my, I don't know if you know about this about me, but I watch all of my shows with subtitles.
I cannot do that.
I don't pay attention to them necessarily, but I watch all of my shows with subtitles.
I know myself, and like I would read instead of like watching.
I think you get used to it, where it's kind of like just
just in case like you miss something.
Yeah, I think I started especially with shows with like heavy British accents because I don't want to miss any of that dialogue. But yeah, then fair. I just started doing it for everything, and I kind of just watch the majority of my shows like with subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
Not live TV, obviously, but you know, streaming services.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. What are you watching lately? Any new shows?
No, not really. I mean, I have been trying to catch up to Hannah's podcast, Pawnee Public Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching Parks and Rec and then listening to an episode of their show and back and forth and back and forth. So that's kind of what I've been working on for the last like week or so. I have about like 7 episodes left until I'm caught up with them. So I've been enjoying that. And then aside from that, I watched a couple of episodes of Dead to Me season 2. But I got to be honest with you, I was getting really anxious. So what I wound up doing.
With season 2?
For season 2. So what I wound up doing is I read like the synopsis of like the season recaps of everything, of each episode, because I was just like, I don't know, like I, as much as I like, you know, shows like that where you don't know what's going to happen, sometimes it's just like so nerve-wracking. It's just, so I couldn't deal with it. I had to know if blank got blanked and then went to blank.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like, you watched it, so you probably know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I just, like, couldn't handle it anymore because it was just, like, making me nervous. So I might, like, I now that I know what's going to happen, I might go back and watch it just to see how it plays out. But I just, like, couldn't handle it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And
I'm not the opposite. Normally, like,
yeah, I'm not normally like that. I just, like, was getting, like, literally anxious.
I mean, like, yeah, you don't want to watch something that's going to make you feel that way in, like, not a good way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Usually I only ever look up stuff like that if, like, I've gotten to the point where I don't feel like watching the show anymore, but I just want to know like what happens with the characters. I'll just like read it online because I'm like, I'm not wasting more of my time on this.
Yeah, it wasn't that. It was just like I was watching it and I just like they were doing things and I was just like, and then I was just like, I just can't handle anymore. Like I just need to see how it kind of plays out.
Yeah.
Right now. But what a fail. What a fail.
I mean, it's fine. Season 2 wasn't that good, so I don't think it's that big of a, like, a loss, you know?
No, no. And I thought that show had, like, good bones to it. Like, I don't know why. I guess, like, maybe what they ultimately, like, made season 2 about just, like, wasn't that.
I think it's one of those shows they should have just done, like, one season. Like, a mini series. Yeah. Like, a one season thing and be done, you know? This is some of those shows.
I think it just goes back to like a Pretty Little Liars where like you're watching this and you're just like, why don't you just do the right thing? You know what I mean? Like, why don't you just go to the police? Yes. Why don't you just admit to the truth? Like, all of the like digging yourself deeper and deeper and deeper in a hole always just makes me so ick, you know?
I know what you mean. It's like, because none of the characters are doing what a normal person would do.
Yeah. In that situation. Yeah. Especially like when you're not in the wrong and you still dig yourself deeper in a hole, you know?
Yeah. It just doesn't, no, it's not like plausible a lot of the time.
Yeah. So that's why I kind of just like started getting really anxious about it. Whatever. Are you indulging in 90s nightcaps today?
Yes. I am drinking a Barefoot. I think it's a pink Moscato. I poured it in a glass and then I forgot what it was, but I'm very certain. I still need to get the, what was it called? Nasty bitch? Spicy bitch?
Bitchy bitch. Yeah.
Something bitch. Anyway, I still need to try that out. I haven't made a liquor run yet, but no, I'm getting to that point.
I need to switch up. I mean, I went elsewhere besides my TJ's for an alcohol run this week, but I did not see. I need like a different place, like a different place, like with a bigger selection, like a Bottle King. I don't know, like a Bottle King.
A what? A Bottle King?
Yeah, you don't have that in upstate New York?
A Bottle King? I have no idea what that is. This is like a liquor store?
Yeah, it's like a larger liquor store that has like a bigger selection.
Yeah.
But it's like a, it's like a thing. There's also this place by me called the Wine Library. So maybe I should give that place a try.
Ooh, like the sound of that.
Yeah. You would like the Wine Library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're due to go to the liquor store soon because I'm like finally getting down to the last bits of what I bought. And I have like mostly champagne left and like no wine. And I mean, we still have
bought so much champagne. I guess you're anticipating a lot of celebrations.
Well, I bought the little bottles because I really wanted them for like if I wanted a mimosa or just for the podcast because I don't want to open a whole bottle. Just
I know.
Myself.
I know. I agree. That's what happens. Like right now I'm drinking I'm like trash bag over here. I'm drinking a flat sparkling wine in a mug to be discreet because I had some like a dental procedure done and I'm not supposed to be drinking alcohol. I don't think, like you said, it's okay. It might be okay.
I think that I'm not quite sure. Doctor meant like right after. I think you're fine now. Mm-hmm. It's been a day.
So I'm like drinking out of my mug and it's flat because it's a few days old and it's just like not a vibe. But this is, it's relaxed. Because I figured, like, I might as well get into that mindset. And it's some sort of sparkling Moscato type of thing as well. Or love is it that. A Riesling? It could be a Riesling. Something
Riesling's
sweet.
Riesling's my favorite.
It's something sweet. So it's like a Moscato or Riesling, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Moving, shall we talk about the episode? That's what we're here to do, I suppose.
Yep.
We're talking about Boy Meets World Season 2, Episode 3, Notorious.
Notorious.
I know. Every time I see that, I think of the song.
Notorious. Okay. not me trying to audition for our next theme song.
Instead of Fashion Hour, it's going to be Notorious.
Notorious Fashion Hour.
I love this.
Yeah.
So we open the episode with Corey and Sean walking by the newspaper room in the school and they hear, "Eric, don't stop." And Corey, again, such a creep.
He's such a creep with his brother.
He's such a perv.
This reminds me of Kayla's story from last week where she would like peek in through the basement windows. Corey like knows it's his brother right away and like, you know, busts through the school newspaper room and he sees his brother giving a studious looking female a shoulder and back rub.
Yes, Molly. That's her name, and she is writing about their new principal, Mr. Feeney.
Yes.
And
she's doing like Corey a human interest story on him.
Yes, like he's front page. front of the newspaper. Apparently, mm-hmm. it was a slow news week at John Adams High.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't remember any school papers. Like, do you remember what your school paper was called?
We did not have a school paper. Oh my goodness! Like, nothing happened in my teensy town. Mm. We did not have one.
Yeah, I think that we at least had a school paper where it came out like probably once a month or something like
a bulletin like that. Or something.
Yeah. Some mm-hmm. sort of like news bulletin. I remember I have like a copy of like one for my senior year because they did this thing where they wrote like a senior story and put it in the school paper. And basically it was like, I don't know, like a story. And within the story, they mention every senior. So it's like the theme of the story was like 10-year anniversary. And then it's like, mm-hmm. oh, I saw blank and she's now works for like Vogue and like always dressed up so well, like usual. And then you what hear the chant of blank and you know that's like Roberto and he's now a football star. Like, so it's like that sort yeah. of a thing. So I know that we had one, but I don't think that they were the socially elite of my high school.
No, this was very weird that like Eric was catering to Molly in this way. Like, I feel like this is like he's like, oh, I finally got a smart girlfriend like later in the episode. And it's like, yeah. I feel like she'd be like the nerd who people would make fun of. But what but, do
like,
I know?
Somehow she's not like somehow she's like cool because she's the editor of the school paper, but
it's a weird thing.
But she's smart. Like, she could be like the hot smart girl, I guess so.
But either way, Eric is on to another girl in his long list of girls he's dated.
Yeah.
And so that Corey and Sean have rats that are named after themselves, which is interesting because this is like the one and only time they appear in this episode.
Yeah. Sean is the rat that's chewing on the lock while Corey's the rat that has a skin disease. Ew.
Yeah. And I don't understand like why the rats were even in this episode because they show up just in this scene and then they're gone.
Yeah.
I don't know, something interesting to do.
Maybe like Steve Irwin was like on the lot that year or that and day.
He's like, here are these rats.
Here are these rats. Like, do you want to use them in your show?
Mm-hmm.
They're and trained.
They like torture Molly with them.
Yeah. Corey was being like such like a little brother in this episode. He like antagonized Molly like randomly.
I know. Like,
and he's, come on, you kiss my brother. You can kiss the rat.
Yeah, I think this was the rats were just like a way to get Molly to leave because she like screams and runs out of the room. Eric like follows her. And of course, Janitor Bud is like mopping because that'll come
back
later.
Our first sighting of Janitor Bud in the entire series. I think that's a huge deal.
It is. This is a big moment in Boy Meets World for us. Janitor Bud is here and he is mopping the floor and Eric falls. And meanwhile, Corey and Sean decide it's going to be fun to, like, mess with different letter combinations for Feeny. Like, honestly, Weenie is, like, the obvious go-to.
Obviously, why did they try so many other things? Obviously the one that you would go to first. Number one, like, I mean, Beanie, Deenie, Geenie.
I think, like teeny is teeny, good. Teeny. And, like, peeny if you want to go for, like, kind of a penis joke.
Yeah, peeny. That would have been good. Yeah. But, no, Sean just, like, it takes him 5 tries to go to Weenie. Like, that is amateur work.
It really was. It took him far too long.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we'll be legends. Corey says he doesn't want to do it because power in the wrong hands is dangerous.
Yeah, but Sean wants the power. He wants to be notorious.
he does. And this is the start of like, well, this isn't the start, but like this is just another line of like Sean wanting to do something bad and Corey being like moral compass.
And this episode is all about like at what extent is too much covering too much, you know?
Yeah. How well, like long, how yeah, how far
how
is Corey willing to go?
Is
to
Corey
protect Sean?
To protect I was gonna say that.
Yeah. It's
okay. Yeah, so Corey tries to talk Sean out of it like he normally does, but it was too tempting for Sean. Too tempting.
Yep. And so they walk in the next day and it says, new principal is Weenie.
Everyone's looking at the paper and laughing.
Yeah, Harley Kiner sees it and he says it's funny. He says whomever did it could be in his group. He basically is like, oh, maybe they should replace you, Joey.
Yeah, Joey
sucks. Joey should be replaced.
Joey should. Like, he's definitely in number four. He's not 100%. Number three material.
Yes, he needs to be, like, way, way sidelined. Mm-hmm. And so Sean, of course, hears that and he's like, ooh, it was me. So he approaches and then Harley, like, threatens to remove his ears.
Violence. Violence. Don't steal ears, guys. It's not worth it.
And but like Sean only pays him a dollar. Like that's like a pretty good deal at least. Like it's not like he owed him more.
Oh, did you not do the math on how much a dollar was worth back then?
I didn't. I don't think it'd be that much. I think it'd be like $10. Like I don't think it'd be that much.
Yeah, maybe even less. Maybe like $2.
Still not much. Although with like allowances and stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, but then Harley can just go to the vending machine and get a bar, like get like a Hershey's, like, you know,
fair,
like,
back
maybe
then,
it's just like worth it, you know.
Yeah,
that's like fine, like a dollar I can get some Sun Chips.
Yeah, because if he's like, oh, give me $7, like what if Sean only has like a 10, then he has to get change, you know.
Sean doesn't even have a dollar. He probably borrowed that from Corey.
You're probably right, he probably
didn't have a dollar. Where's Sean getting a dollar from?
Does he get an allowance?
If so, a dollar.
I guess so. So Corey says, like, Sean can't be famous because no one knows it was him who did it.
Good point. Good point. At first he's like, that doesn't bother me. Like, just knowing that I did it is good enough for me. But then he then realizes that it does bother him and he really wants people to know that he did this prank. Like, he's the one that's behind it.
Yeah, because that, like, cute girl walks by and is like, this is so funny. So funny. I'd love to date the guy who did this.
If it was my boyfriend, I would do anything for them.
Like, what? This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever
heard. Yeah, if my boyfriend did that, I'd be like, you're really freaking dumb. I don't think that would impress me.
It would not impress me. It's like, ooh, wow, you typed a letter and you made a juvenile joke. Like, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm thinking even back then, like, would that have impressed me? Like, and what would impress me if I was a 16-year-old girl?
I don't think a prank like that would have impressed me.
I think I was impressed by, like, good hair. I think I was impressed by, like, funny jokes, like, actually funny jokes.
Like, yeah,
I
someone did, that like, was, the, like, witty.
Yeah, I think I liked the jokester. Yeah.
Like, someone who was very, like, would, like, poke fun at you. Like, almost, like, I know we're not talking about this, but, like, almost, like, the, like, Pacey Joey, like, kind of, like, poke fun at you a little bit in Dawson's Creek, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't do it for me.
No. So, I don't think so either. I didn't really like the kids that, like, got in trouble or...
No, me neither.
But, or, like, you know, I think if I saw, like, a prank like that, I would just be, like... roll my eyes or whatever.
It's like, wow, this takes almost no effort, you know. But then we're off to Zaddy Turner's class.
I would like to learn from. Yes, he can teach me things. And we're learning about the Scarlet Letter today, and I love the joke where so he writes like the letter A because obviously the whole thing in the Scarlet Letter is like whomever has to write like a big giant red A on them to know that, what are they, like an adulterer?
She's an adulterer. Yeah.
So writes a big A on the board. Feeny comes in. He's going from classroom to find out like who did it, like saying like whoever turns themselves in or has info for me, that will benefit you. And I love the joke, like, as Feeny leaves, like, he's like, I'll return you to your lecture on the letter A. I thought that was so funny. See?
I know.
If somebody made a joke like that, then I'd be like, oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, good job, Feeny. Yeah, and it's like, Sean could not be more obvious by just, like,
the
not
two of
making
them.
Eye contact.
The two of them.
The both of them, that's fair.
They were, like, looking in opposite directions.
Like, the key is to look directly into his eyeballs. Yeah. Like, that's the key. When you lie, you tend to avert your eyes. And so if you're going to tell a bald-faced lie, stare directly into their eye sockets.
Yeah, and Sean has a huge tell, like, with eye contact. He's not a good eye contactor. So
obviously they're playing it up for the comedy of it. But, like, were you good at telling lies? Or I guess, are you? I don't know. When you were a kid, like, would you have been good at it?
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't know.
What? Yeah, no. I think that I've gotten better. I don't mean to sound bad. I've gotten better at lying.
Yeah.
Because like I've played like social deduction games, and because of that, you have to be able to lie. So I think I've gotten better.
Oh yeah. That reminds me of the days when you were like obsessively playing Among Us, like a rapid dog. Like gotta play Among Us from morning till nighttime, all day, every day. And then it was, like, got to the point where, like, people were, like, I'm afraid of Jessica. And then I got to the point where, like, I can't help you anymore. Like, you're on your own.
Listen, I'm a very good liar, and I get so much joy out of making people believe me, too. So, like, but I wasn't like that as a kid. I don't think I was a very good liar. Not that I, like, did anything like what Sean did, but I don't know.
I probably thought that I was a good liar. I was probably the opposite. I probably thought I was a good liar and I wasn't a very good liar. I probably had easy tells. I mean, you've seen me in other sort of social games and I wasn't a very good liar. It's weird
because I don't think you're like super competitive with stuff like that either. So,
oh no, like with your type of games, I think that they're stupid and. I lost my fucking nail for one of your dumbass games, and I'll never forget it.
You play Among Us. It's not my fault you broke a nail somehow.
Yeah, that's how I knew I was done with Among Us. As soon as I broke that nail, I was like, I'm done. And I told you that night, I was like, I'm done with Among Us. I'm not going to play again. And you're like, okay, whatever. And I really never, like, did you ever see me play again after that night?
This is the most ridiculous thing. No, I broke a nail playing a game and I never played it again.
I was so mad because I got, like, the stupid bad guy.
You were imposter.
Whatever. I totally purposely am forgetting every verbiage that has to do with it. Got the bad guy twice in a row. Hated it, and I threw my hands back and it hit the baseball that's on my wall and I broke a nail. And
it wasn't the game, it was you.
No, it was the game, because it's like I was either the imposter or
you got killed like way early.
Got killed first because all of your other competitive friends were like, didn't give a shit that there was newcomers and just killed the easy target. And that's how I knew I was done. I was like, fuck this. I know exactly who, and they don't listen to the podcast, but...
Do you remember... Of course you remember that.
I remember who.
Do you remember the first time I ever played, I was imposter, and you were playing, and I didn't know how to kill you, and I was just chasing you around the room?
That was the funnest time I ever had playing this godforsaken game. This is only even
funny to someone who's ever played imposter, but it was the first time I played, and I didn't know what the kill button was, and so I was chasing Sarah.
In a circle. That was fun.
Circles. Yeah. It was very funny.
That was fun. Anyway. Last time I had fun playing that game. Stupid. I hate it.
Back to Boy Meets World. So we're back at the Matthews residence. Alan, okay, we need to talk about Alan's parenting, because he's laughing at Weenie. Eric says his girlfriend doesn't see the humor and that she broke up with him. It was a status relationship, apparently.
Yeah. It sounded like very her like breakup letter was like very well written. So I hope that she does have a future in writing or editorial skills, but
She's for sure like off to like some fancy dancy college, and like
she's going to Cornell
or married someone from Cornell or Harvard or something.
Yeah, that's what she's off to. So Alan is not concerned about Eric's dating prospects. So he's just like, you know, you'll find somebody else. It's like not a big deal. Then he starts like talking about like how like love is sweet and whatever. He was saying some nice things. And this is, I mean, I know that you said that you had some issues with Alan's parenting, but I have some issues with hitting.
Season yeah, Amy two, just smacks him in the head.
A lot of smacking, right? Like, there's a lot of hitting. Like, why?
I don't know. Did she hit him or flick him? I guess it doesn't really matter.
It's like a little.
Yeah, a little hit.
It's like, but that happened. Like, they did that in, like, two other episodes or it at just least happened. One other episode.
I think it was the season two premiere.
Why are we hitting so much? No, but it also happened, like, in the at the end cap episode of one of the episodes where, like,
yeah, everybody it was the first one of season two, I think.
So everyone was like, why is everybody yeah. hitting each other?
People
like,
need to not hit each other. Yeah, it's more of like, right, Amy hits Alan because he, like, forgets to clean the garage or something. But it's like Alan thinks that the weenie thing is, like, funny, which, like, okay.
If it's boys mean, think it's funny.
The boys think it's all the boys
Drew,
think it's funny.
Drew would think it's funny.
And Morgan thinks it's funny. But I would, like, wait to laugh until I'm, like, alone with Amy. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in front of your kids, you have to be like, this was wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's the wrong move to be like, ho, 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 weenie.
Yeah, I know. I know. But, yeah. So, Corey comes in and they're talking about this paper thing, and Eric has the realization that Corey and Sean were the last ones in the room. Mm-hmm. So automatically Corey, who is actually a bad liar, he would do terribly in Among Us, denies everything, but everyone kind of knows that Corey is somewhat behind this disaster.
Yeah. And Corey's just like, you don't have any proof. So we're back at the school, and Molly calls Eric a remicular miscreant, which, like, love that.
big words.
And Jason is back.
Jason was funny in this episode.
He's back on the show, and him and Eric are talking about women. He's like, listen, you can't let me get involved with women again. You know, they're horrible, blah, blah, blah.
Done for the entire junior year. And it's like literally September. That would be a very dry year for him.
Especially considering how many women he's dated already since, like, beginning of season one. And so Eric bumps into somebody and it's like, oh, my shoes, my hair.
She's
Southern. My name's Desiree.
Desiree Ameline Hollinger Beaumont. Do you do?
So she's a senior.
Yes, a senior, brand new from Atlanta, hot off the presses.
Yes, and Eric is very excited.
Well, she's exotic. She's exotic. She has an accent. She has a Southern name. She is from out of the state. So, yeah, I think it's exotic.
Okay. She's just at least not local for him. And she's a new girl and she's a senior, so he's interested.
He forgot. Jason, like, he forgot his vow right
immediately,
away.
Immediately. Yeah. And Jason is like, listen, we talked about this. And he's like, listen, go fetch your freaking papers I just threw. Like, so rude, by the way. So rude.
I mean, they're not good. He's not a good friend. Mm-mm. That's obvious.
Definitely not. We get to Sean writing weenie on Mr. Feeney's office, and he's like, now they'll remember me. Like, now I'll be notorious.
Yeah. And you pointed out last week, but that they transformed the bathroom door into Feeney's office.
What? Yes. Yeah, like, okay. That was a bathroom literally an episode ago.
Yeah, it looks like a bathroom because, like, it has, like, the frosted front door. Right? So it doesn't look like Feeny's office.
It's very weird.
Why couldn't they just add another door?
I don't know. It's just a weird thing they did, and now it's going to be Feeny's office. Like, it's just weird. It's a weird place for his office to be as well, I think. Usually, I feel like a
principal's office
is, like, near the front of the school.
Near the front of the school, within the admin area.
Right. So it's just a weird spot. But, yeah, it used to be the bathroom. And, of course, Corey is like, oh, there's a smudge, and he touches it. And then Mr. Feeney and Janitor Bud come up, and Janitor Bud is like, here you go, Mr. Weenie.
So stupid. Yes. Corey denies his, his involvement, but Janitor Bud saw Corey and a unidentified male student in the newspaper room with the computer. What else?
With the keyboard.
With the keyboard. Yes. And he, you know, he was at the scene of the crime. He's like guilty. But he did not get a good look at the other kid.
Yeah. And Corey's denying it. And Feeny's like, listen, I know you know who did it. So you're going to be suspended if you don't tell me who did it.
I mean, so if it's one kid, if it's Corey, then Sean's involved. If Sean's involved, Corey is involved.
Feeny knows. What I mean? Yeah. Yeah, this is like a Feeny con. We know it's a Feeny con.
Long con, yeah.
It's always a con with Feeny. Mm-hmm. So we're back at the Matthews residence. And, of course, Feeny has called. I don't know why he didn't just walk over. But he's called Amy and Alan and told them that Corey has a meeting with him tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, what a tattletale. You know,
it's like, would he call? So the question is, like, would he call if it was just any other student?
God, probably not. No,
that's
what his special student.
It's the one he spies on all the time.
Yeah, his special student.
Yeah, I think this might be. I think here's the thing. I think,
but he didn't even tell. He didn't even tell Alan and Amy what Corey did or did not do.
Right. And here's the other situation, too. Like, knowing what we know about the end of the episode, like, what is his angle? Like, what is he trying? What is he hoping comes out of this? Like, is he hoping that they talk him into giving up Sean? Or no. Is he, like, what is the angle?
He needs to establish his dominance as the new principal.
He needs to piss around the house.
He has to piss around the entire school and say, this is my school. My school. These are my students. You cannot call me weenie.
My students, not weenie.
No weenie. So he has to say that this is the way it's gonna be.
And I'm gonna. You know what I just had an image of?
What's that?
Imagine Mr. Feeny, but like he becomes like a Heisenberg. Breaking Bad? You've seen Breaking Bad.
No, you know I haven't.
Oh my god. Okay, well, people that know Breaking Bad will know what I'm talking about, where he becomes like, because you know the whole story, it's like a chemistry teacher who like breaks bad, like he becomes a bad guy, and like let's pretend that that's Mr. Feeny. Mm-hmm. And he's like my name is Weenie, like, and he just gets just like, it's like a mean guy.
My name is Weenie George Weenie.
But I don't understand why he calls them. Like, it just, I don't know. I don't know what his angle is. Like, why not wait until Corey goes with the meeting and then involve the parents?
The angle of telling Alan and Amy is that he's a tattletale. He loves to gossip. Gossip queen, fiend, back at it again. What?
And if they hadn't have said that he called, I would have just pictured them, like, standing, like, by that little mini fence they have and mm-hmm. just, like, shooting the shit and gossiping. And he's like, y'all know what Corey did today at school? Let me tell ya. Also, Susie and Timmy, they broke up. Yeah. No longer.
See, that's my worst nightmare, would be daily progress reports from my principal/teacher to my parents. You can't hide those.
I guess not, but I was verbal. A good student, so I feel like it would have been fine.
Yeah, you would be like, oh, what did my teacher say about me today? Yes, yeah. I did More get A's. An A on Thank my spelling you. Test. Yeah.
Yes. So they ask him what happened, and Corey says a friend pulled a major scam. This kid is something. Mr. Feeny knows that I didn't do it. And Alan says a friend doesn't rat out a friend. Feeny's threatening suspension, and so then Amy's like, listen, they don't let kids into college with this on their record. And he's like, they just want your money. And she's like, do we have money? And then he says, you have to rat out your friend because we're poor.
This was my favorite part, actually.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with him?
Yeah, you don't rat out your friends. Unless one of my friends murdered somebody, I'm not gonna rat out my friends.
Like, suspension also seems like a pretty severe punishment for the crime.
It's once again, he's just trying to make his mark as a new principal, you know? Like, he can't. He can't around. Like, he has to make sure people take him seriously.
Yeah, that's fair. But no, I agree. Like, you can't rat out your friends.
No. But yeah, this was my favorite part. It was very, like, help me, I'm poor energy. Yes. I just sent you a photo.
I know what it is.
Yeah, you have to rat me out because we're poor.
Yeah, you have to rat out your friend because we're poor.
We're poor.
Yeah, the way he read that line, like, cracked me up.
Best line. And he looks so cute. Like, look how cute his little sad face is.
He's a shitty dad, but
he's not
a shitty dad, but this season, honestly, I felt like he was such a better dad last season. Like, he's more like comedic relief season.
I think that's why. I agree. I think that's what.
Like, Amy is, like, the only disciplinarian in the house. It's like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, like.
But that tracks. I feel like thinking forward, that does track.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're probably right. It probably is how it is from now on. It's just an interesting kind of
shift, like, in dynamics. Shift in
things, yeah.
Well, maybe the audience didn't like Alan jumping down everybody's throats and being like.
Zaddy Allen. What? I like Zaddy Allen with the temper tantrums.
Okay, you like that. But, like, maybe the audience didn't react to that. Maybe they didn't like the hot-headedness of it.
Maybe.
So, yeah, so basically Alan doesn't want him to rat the friend out. Amy says there's got to be consequences. They both know everyone's talking about Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Corey is, like, sticking to the fact that Sean just did it because he wanted to do something special and not be a seventh grade nobody. Honestly, yeah. I would have been thrilled to be a seventh grade nobody. Like, make me invisible. I don't want anybody to know me. I don't want anybody to talk to me. I don't want anybody to look at me. Much better than being tormented in seventh grade. Be a seventh grade nobody. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think just, like, Sean and Corey want different things, or, like, Corey wants notoriety, but not for, like, bad reasons, right?
Yeah, he just wants to make jokes.
Right, so I think that's kind of where they diverge, and this is when Eric comes in and says he's dating a senior, and now he has self-worth.
Yeah, like, these kids, they need to get more self-worth from, I don't know, something else.
Anything else.
Anything else.
Yeah, now we're back at school. Corey thinks that, you know, Feeny's taking the prank way too seriously. He's like, you know, I didn't do it. But of course, Feeny knows that Corey knows who did. So, like, neither one of them are backing down.
Yeah.
And Corey says, nothing else is going to happen again, right, Sean? And there in the paper is weenie, 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 weenie.
Weenie, weenie. But Sean didn't do it this time.
No, he didn't. Joey and Frankie did it. But here's the thing. Like, this is also stupid anyway, because it's not like any of them are really getting any credit for any of this. So.
No. I mean, it's not getting back to anybody that they are the parties involved.
Right. And I don't think. Also, it's like, who the fuck, like, who is leaving this newspaper room unlocked all the time? Like, use a key.
Molly probably had a key and she didn't lock it when she ran out because of the rats.
Poor Molly is going to be fired as newspaper editor.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like, this looks terrible on Molly.
Maybe is a smudge on her permanent record.
Smudge on the permanent record. Can, like, what the heck is a permanent record? Do you have, like, a file? Like, you always heard threats of, like, oh, in your permanent record, permanent record. Do you have a file?
I don't know. I wonder what they even look at. Like, let's pretend Corey does get suspended in seventh grade. That is not going to follow him to college.
No. You know what's crazy? When I was in middle school, I had, like, a complete breakdown about one of my grades. And one of my teachers legitimately told me that it didn't matter if I got a bad grade in, like, eighth or seventh grade, because colleges doesn't check your grades in those classes anyway.
I don't think they start checking till, like, 10th, 11th, 12th or something.
So they legitimately told me that it didn't matter, which, that's, like,
I mean, good. It'd make you feel better.
Well, it put me in a mindset that I didn't have to give a shit. That's not good. So,
yeah.
I'm not blaming them on that.
You know what? Fuck you, Mrs. Lopez. It's all your fault. I just made up her name.
Anyway. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, right. So Desiree says Eric can bring her to the mall and have her kitten neutered. Who's your little Georgia Peach? And who's my little Yankee Doodle?
That's, yeah. So basically Eric's now a bitch. Like,
I remembered, like, I couldn't have told you the other storyline with Corey and Sean, but I remember Desiree.
You remember Desiree.
Especially because I remember, like, she's like, there's a lick of winter around. And she asked Eric to drive around for 40 minutes
to heat up the car.
To heat up the car. And then she goes, say yes, puddin'.
She is, like, a psycho bitch, but I mean, she commands, like,
she gets what she wants, dude. Like, this is after one day, and I love I don't like Jason, but I love his response here because he's like, yes, and she's like, I'm sorry, and Jason's like, I believe the woman is looking for pudding. Like, that line cracks me.
Yeah.
Yes, pudding.
I think we see her more in future episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, there's no wonder then that I remembered her so vividly.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's not like she was in one episode and you just remember her. Like, she's in at least another episode
or so. I just specifically remembered the pudding line.
Pudding.
Right, because we don't ever get a resolution to this whole thing. So, no. So that, okay, that makes sense then. Because I was like, I don't remember him breaking up with her. Because I do remember eventually he breaks it off with her. Spoilers.
Yeah.
But anyway, that always cracks me up, the pudding. So Corey tells Sean that if he doesn't tell Feeny who did it, he's going to get in trouble. And Sean is like, oh, I really appreciate it. I can't get into any trouble after the cherry bomb accident.
I do like how they have some, like, serialality.
Continuity. Serial. Yeah. We're going to leave that in because I love seriality, though.
You know, like, a serialized television means that, like,
that just means it's a series?
All right. So I like how it did have some continuity because it's, like, nice that they, like, know their own show and they referenced it. And they're like, you know, if, like, I get into trouble again, then I'm going to be sent off to military school. Like, I really can't, like, fuck up again. Like, thanks, Corey.
Well, then you shouldn't have done Weenie in the newspaper and Weenie on the door. That sounds weird, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, so, exactly. But I liked how they referenced that. And so Corey's like, you know, finally he stands up for himself. He's like, I can only cover for you for so long. And Sean's like, how long? And I mean, that's a good question. Like,
I don't think that's fair to ask, though. Like,
no,
I think it's
fair of Sean to ask. It's not fair.
It's not. It's like, this should be, if I'm Corey, I'm like, this is the last time. Like, next time you're on your own. Don't do stuff like this and put me in this position because, like, I'm going to get in trouble, you know?
Yeah, but Corey's not that type of person. Corey's like a ride or die. Especially for
Corey
Sean.
Is a ride or die. I don't know. Have we ever talked about this? Do we think that we think Corey's a water sign, right?
We haven't talked about this. I mean, who's loyal? I don't think water signs are particularly loyal. They're not known for their loyalty.
Maybe like a Taurus or something.
Leos are known for their loyalty, aren't they? Because he's not a Leo.
No, he's not a Leo. I get like Aries energy from Sean sometimes.
Oh, we're talking about Sean? I thought we were talking
about
Corey.
Oh, no, I was talking about Corey, but I'm just pivoting to Sean. Like, or maybe even Scorpio vibes from Sean.
See, I can see Sean as a water sign. He's a lot more emotional. He, like, hides behind his emotions a lot.
A Scorpio is like the chaotic version of.
I think Sean is a Scorpio because he has like the hard exterior and a softer interior, but it takes really like a long time for you to crack it. Yeah. And he has like an edgier side and more chaotic. So I think that we're definitely on track. I mean, we know for a fact that his birthday is not in November.
We're talking like that. We're just
personalities.
Talking about because I feel like the writers probably don't think about that when they're like, oh, let's make him this birthday
yeah
for this reason
yeah, yeah. But Corey, I think, is like more of a jokester. He's not as sensitive. Like he, yeah. I think that he could be. He's like very loyal. Like he like has like values long lasting relationships. Mm-hmm. He's definitely like more of a commitment person than like Topanga was eventually.
Yeah. So I just keep seeing him as an earth sign, but he is really outgoing. So
like, I think I'm like leaning towards a Leo, to be honest with you.
You might be right, but I do think he has water in his chart because he does like he's a more emotional than a typical Leo, I would think.
But I don't think he's more emotional than Sean is. I think Sean is not like moody emotional. Yeah, and I think I think like Corey is like a softy.
But kind of maybe we'll need to dedicate
you almost. Like it reminds me like you're like such a jokester and you're outgoing and you like to make people laugh. But you definitely have like you're very loyal and you have like a more like soft interior to you. Like you're like
listen,
very
we don't talk about my soft interior in public. We can't have people know this.
I think that like Corey like kind of does like remind me like at like a more mature Corey, not like this dumb Corey that like does.
Yeah, because I was not. Season. I guess it's like all about your underlying. For anybody who doesn't know astrology, it's all about like your whole chart too. Because like I have a lot of Virgo in my chart, so that would I'm more of like a good student than like Corey. Yeah.
Like you know a pure Virgo. I'm a pure. Excuse me, a pure Leo. I'm thinking.
Yeah,
more of a Leo. Leo.
Yeah.
Because, like, the whole jokester and liking to be the center of attention and the
that's also, like,
clown.
Big Aries energy, too. But he, like, he doesn't give me Aries other in other ways. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, so now we get to the part where, like, Mr. Turner steps in. And I really like this part from Turner, like, being – like, we're going to see him step up in a big way in, like, a mentor role. But I really liked him here because he is kind of, like, the counterpart to Feeny, where he kind of, like, meets the kids on their level.
Right.
And he's like, listen, you have to go easy on Mr. Feeny. He's new at this school, just like me, just like you. First impressions really stick. What if you came in tomorrow and I said, what do you want, booger?
Yeah. And he's like – like, don't do that. Like, it's gonna, like, it would stick forever. And it really would. Like, that's the type of thing, like, in that age, like, one day could affect your entire high school career. Like, you know, if you, like, wear, like, I don't know, if you wear, like, a shirt that says something, then all of a sudden you're that's whatever your nickname. That shirt says.
Yeah.
It's, like, in that age group, it's, like, you literally have to be invisible because or yeah. else like there's a new thing it's terrible, it's horrifying.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And so, like, he's trying to get on his level and make him understand, and he's like, listen, Feeny's also new in school. And like then of course, like, Corey's like, well, am I supposed to rat on Sean? Am I not supposed to rat on Sean? And Mr. Turner's like not really giving him advice.
I think that the point is that Mr. Turner's saying ultimately it's your decision and you have control of your own destiny.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think this is like, I think it's interesting that I feel like we get more advice from Mr. Turner than we do the parents in this episode. Like, and I think that's going to be a shift we're going to see.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. I think that when you're a kid, your parents are the, you know, your world, going back to Boy Meets World, but they're your world. Mm-hmm. Like, they influence your decisions. They influence, like, you go to them for advice. And I think a lot of kids, as they go older, they find other people to look up to, whether that be other, like, you know, peers or older kids or a teacher or whatever. You find other people to influence you. So I like that they're making the transition to Mr. Turner. And I like how, since this is pre-Mr. Turner and Sean's relationship, I like that Mr. Turner was really there and took, like, a special interest in Corey in this part of season two.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like that shift as well. Like, you do get more advice from people other than your parents, especially around this age.
Yeah.
And it's a small part of this episode, but I do think it is just, like, a sign of larger things to come in the future with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we're in Feeny's office and Corey apologizes about the headline. Mr. Feeny was like, please, I heard this like the entire time I was growing up, like it was like yeah. my nickname. And of course that's going to really drudge up like bad memories for him.
Yeah. Feeny is always very like his emotions are very guided by his past experiences. So I'm thinking of the time where Feeny really blew up at Corey for falling asleep during his test. And yeah. it, like Corey explains, like, well, I was watching a baseball game with my dad. And like Feeny automatically got very emotional about it because he remembered a time where he wanted to be staying up late with his dad. And his dad said no. And I think like we talked about, I think that's like Father Knows Less, if I'm remembering correctly. Like,
yes,
maybe.
Yeah.
No,
go ahead.
Oh, no. I just think that like Feeny really is takes his past experiences and like he's very emotional about childhood traumas of his. So,
yeah. And I think he also kind of like he knows Corey is a good kid. And so I think it's like balancing that like knowing he's a good kid, but wanting to, him to remain that good kid. So, like, he does need guidance and he does need a slap on the wrist when he does something wrong. And I think Feeny doesn't necessarily want Corey to see him as, like, a soft guy, you know?
Yes.
He wants to be seen as, like, a disciplinarian. And so yes. he says, like, listen, when people do things like the weenie thing, it undermines my authority, creates disruption and disrespect, and I can't have that. And so when Corey doesn't give Sean up, instead of like, I assume that Corey thought that Feeny was going to be like pissed. He was like, listen, protecting a friendship is like more important than a punishment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He says like, as a principal, I want to, you know, suspend you. I want to punish you. But as like a teacher, a mentor, somebody that like has grown up, living in the house next to you and seeing you become the person that you are, like, I'm proud mm-hmm. of you. Or like, I don't know if he was proud of Corey, but he just like knew it wasn't in Corey to like
right.
throw his friend under the bus.
Right. Yeah. And it's like Feeny does say, it's, you know, to be something special is something within. And so he's like, you know what, you did it. You protected your friendship. And then the after credit scene cracked me up too.
Yeah, I do want to know, like, how would you feel? Like, would you, as, like, a Miss Goody Two Shoes at AIM.com, would you turn in your friend?
I don't think I would. I mean, I wouldn't. I would be really pissed. Like, I would be pissed at my friend if they made me take the rap for it. But I guess, is my situation the same? Am I friends with a Sean who's already been in trouble one too many times and is going to get sent off to some military school if they mess up again? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd take the fall for them so they don't end up in that situation. But I would be really upset with them, like more so than Corey even was. I think I would be yeah. like, you cannot do this to me again. I'm not doing this for you again. This is a one time only deal.
You're so
you
know? Scary when you're mad.
Because I would be really pissed because I would think that it would follow me like on a quote unquote permanent record. Yeah. You know,
I think that if you ever saw me angry, I think you would be shook.
Oh, I believe that. 100%. You have the Aries moon. I don't need to mess with that.
okay. So after credits scene,
mm-hmm.
So Corey and Feeny are leaving the office or leaving the meeting. You know, Corey's not suspended. He does have detention for 5 days, mm-hmm. every day for one letter in weenie. But they spelled weenie wrong. It should have been like an IE weenie, not a
yeah.
NY weenie, but you know, whatever. And you know, Sean is lingering and he says to Corey,
like, oh man, you told him. And Feeny's like, Corey's like, no. And then Feeny says to Sean that the punishment for not being caught is far, far worse.
Far, far worse.
Sean is his new special friend.
Yeah, exactly. New special quote unquote friend. Yeah,
I'm going to stalk you just like I stalk Corey.
Yep. Now you're I got myself two big, God, what are those things called?
I have no idea what you mean.
the thing that Helga Pataki has.
Oh, shrine?
Yes. Now Feeny's like, hey, now I have two shrines in my house for each of my quote-unquote special students.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, yeah, Sean's like, why didn't she turn me in?
Yeah, now he's pissed at Corey. Yeah. Like, Sean, you had your chance. Get out of here with this.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, this was, like, a fine episode.
It's fine.
This is the first episode without Topanga in a while. Mm.
Yeah, and I did feel her absence, honestly. Like, yeah. I think I enjoyed, even though it was such a tiny part of the episode, I enjoyed the, like, Eric and Desiree stuff so much. Mm-hmm. And I didn't enjoy the other storyline as much. And it was fine. It was a good episode.
Yeah.
But more Topanga, please. Always on the...
Yeah. We always request more Topanga. But,
yes.
I mean, like we said, I did enjoy Miss Desiree.
Miss Desiree. Poodin'. Shall we get into... I'm assuming we're going to see Desiree in the fashion hour. So shall we get to it?
Fashion
hour.
Goodness. Okay. Our Fashion Hour Awards, first up, the Rachel Green Award for Most 90s Outfit. I have my first nomination is Miss Molly in her school newspaper, just had my interview for Yale University ensemble, kind of like a Diane Keaton, like more masculine type of, you know, menswear as women's wear type of aesthetic that the 90s had. So she's wearing a button down like Oxford striped shirt with a black vest, a tie, and she's wearing a skirt. So I'm not quite sure if the vest connects to the skirt. That is a possibility, or if these are separates. White tights, and she's wearing a loafer that you can see quite well as she flees the classroom. Yeah. Those loafers look pretty comfy, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm not one for a loafer. I also, like... I want to like this outfit because I do love the, like, gender bending and, you know what I mean? Like, the ties on women, I think, is a cool move. I just think it's, like, too much pinstripes for me. Like, it's just a lot. I feel like maybe if she had just pinstripes on either the vest or the shirt, it would be fine.
But,
like,
I gotta tell you, you need a skinnier tie. I think if she wore a skinny black tie, that could be more successful. You think that there's a pinstripe on the vest, which is quite hard to see, but I think you could be right about that.
Yeah, I do see it. I just think it's like, and I also don't think she needs the white tights. I think you could go bare-legged and be good.
They did not go bare-legged.
I know. It's fine. It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. It's okay. It's not too bad.
It's all right. It's fine. Okay. Next up, we have Miss Desiree. And this is her first outfit that we see her in, and the one that we spilt, like, a little bit of juice on, and we had, like, a whole, like, aneurysm over it. So, Miss Desiree is wearing a white t-shirt. She's wearing a suspender boob dress. This is, another dress that highlights the boobs, and a very short skirt. This thing is like thigh length, has like buttons down. It's a gray suspender dress. She is wearing a silver pendant necklace. She has like big swoopy, like curly 90s hair that is shoulder length.
I love her hair, by the way.
And then, like, I really like the shoe situation. So she's wearing, like, scrunched up, like, tall pink socks. So there's, like, about, like, 5 inches of sock. And then she's wearing, like, Oxford white, like, heeled dance shoes, essentially. So, like, the whole ensemble is, like, very put together. Also, like, the back, there is a suspender crisscross in the back, which is very cute. So I really liked this outfit, actually.
I love this outfit. I love her hair. It has volume. It's curly. It doesn't look too put together. Like, it looks just, like, natural enough, the curls, I mean. Mm-hmm. I love this, like, boob overall situation. Like,
yeah, it just, she wore, I feel like, another, it always makes version of it.
I do, yeah, I think I like that, like, it makes the boobs look good, you know? Like, it accentuates the boobs.
Oh, so you think that we should bring back the boob dress?
I think so. The I think, it, especially in this form. I think on Topanga it was a little bit strange, but, like, I think this version with the suspenders, I think, is very cute. And I think the scrunchy sock looks amazing. And she's bare-legged, so we can do it in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true. And, like, I think it is also, like, she's not flat-chested, so that's promising for a more voluptuous top.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, like, a chestier woman could also pull this look off.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. Next up, we have Amy Matthews, and she is wearing clothes. So she's wearing her hair.
She's wearing clothes.
Her hair is, like, a little messy today, but essentially, like, if you look at piece by piece, I feel like it's very 90s. So we have, like, a white, like, flouncy collared shirt, another black vest, maybe put this black vest, which looks solid and a little bit more, like, feminine and dainty, if you know what I mean. Not so, like, masculine. It's as Molly's. So maybe put Molly's this vest on Molly, whatever. She's wearing a scarf that's, like, tied like a, like, necktie, essentially.
Yeah.
Or, like, or, you know, and then she's wearing, like, a gray skirt. But I, once again, like, with the vest and, like, the scarf, like, I felt like this was, like, a very 90s outfit.
It is a very 90s outfit. I really just want to give Amy a different hairstyle. I just,
like, yeah, Amy's hair, like, she looks a little, like, ragamuffin-y.
It's, like, the whole outfit to me looks a bit like someone just, like, took their hands and just ruffled up her whole body before the scene, you know?
Yeah.
I really don't like it. I don't care for, like, the scarf tied in a knot in that fashion. I just think, like, the hair is all wrong. I don't know. It's just not for me. It's not for me.
Alrighty. I get it. So, who would you like to award the Rachel Green Award to this week?
I think for me, it's, like, it's a pick between Molly and Desiree. And I really love Desiree's outfit. And I feel like you can argue it is more 90s with, like, the scrunchy sock. And I think her hair is pretty big, which, you know, the big curls and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it to Desiree.
I think that was a great choice. Next up is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award for the most timeless outfit. I gotta tell you, I was pretty impressed with Corey this episode. Like, he finally got Eric's hand-me-downs, and he was looking, like, really sharp today. So I'm very, very happy for you, Corey. Like, you finally look like a human person, and you don't look like, I don't know, like a Cabbage Patch Kid anymore. So I'm really happy for you. So my favorite outfit of his this week is he's wearing, like, a cream color. You call that, like, a Henley top, right?
Or is, yes, with the buttons. Yes.
It's a Henley top with the buttons. Exactly. Over that, he's wearing a plaid shirt that is, like, a yellow, black and white. Not thermal, but, like,
flannel.
Flannel, of course. So I thought that was, like, I liked this shirt, this yellow on him a lot. It looked very good. And then he's wearing, like, some light wash jeans. Sorry about it. Some black sneaks. But I just thought that he looked really sharp in this outfit. Yeah, this
is one of his best looks we've seen so far. I think the flannel is very timeless, as Henley's are as well. So I think the only thing that's, like, slightly outdated is obviously a light wash jean. But
yeah.
I think even still, like, I think it is a pretty timeless outfit. I like this on Corey.
Yeah. And this was, like, pretty much his uniform. He had, like, different versions of Henleys with different versions of flannels.
Yeah. But I think this is the best one.
Yeah. Next up, I saw this girl, like, my eye was drawn to her, and it looked like she was just picked up from TikTok and implanted into this episode. It's like, girl, do I know you? So this mystery girl, no name mystery girl, just a background actor, but she has like long locks. She's wearing like a gray three-quarter like t-shirt essentially, uh-huh, with a flannel like tied at her waist. She's wearing like some sort of black combat boot and is wearing light or white jeans, but it's just like her whole vibe. She looked very timeless. Like, I just felt like this is an outfit that I would see, yeah, somebody wearing.
I think you're so right. And I think especially like tying your flannel around your waist was such a 90s thing to do, but or mm-hmm, like your hips waist area, but mm-hmm, it is so back now that people are doing, yeah, that as like a look, not just because they want to take their flannel off and not, exactly, wear it anymore.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I love, I'm not her
gonna,
hair as well.
Yeah, I liked her hair too. I'm not gonna lie to you, the reason why we stopped wearing flannels around our waist or sweatshirts around our waist is because whenever you did that, usually that was a signal that you were on your period and you had, yes, an accident. So that's why like you stopped doing that, because you didn't want people to think, yeah, that you had like an accident. But if this girl or if the kids want to bring it back, I mean, period protection is a lot better than it used, yes, to be.
Yes, so, yes. But no, it's back now. It's back. It's back. Now, so yeah. I agree. I love her outfit.
Yeah. And then last up, I have Eric. And Eric is wearing also like a gray Henley-ish button down, like three button top. Over that, he's wearing his own flannel. Like, it's this one I thought was really nice. I liked this color combo, this like olive green on him with some dark gray and some cream. I liked it. He's wearing a watch. Green like utility pants or like
yeah, it's like a khaki type.
Khaki
of
which thing. We don't see anymore, but it okay. And then some dark, like, Vanish shoes. But, I mean, I just thought that, like, he looked good in this outfit. And once again, like, these flannels and these Henleys are very timeless.
A lot of flannel in this episode, huh?
Lots of flannel. We are, yeah, rocking the flannel. We're either doing some sort of, like, vest situation or suspender situation or a flannel situation.
Yeah. Yeah. This might be controversial, but I'm going to give it to the background girl because legitimately it is, yeah, the most timeless of all the outfits.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I
so
can see
she's
that.
She's going to get it.
All right, think, random like, black background girl. Why not? You know, it was funny because I was watching this episode and my eyes were just drawn to her and I was, yeah, just like, this girl's it. Like, I just, like, had a
you
feeling.
You have to do it. Yeah, yeah. You have to do it when you have to do it. And I think, yeah, this is a time where we have to award her for her,
yeah,
her, yeah, her timeless outfit.
I'm just thinking, like, my write-up on Fashion Hour is just going to be like, congratulations, this random background girl, for winning our very, you know, prestigious, what, and serious rewards.
This very prestigious. Yeah. So congratulations to background girl and Desiree. Yes. Who won this week?
We care. I don't want people to think we don't care.
Of course
we care.
I took this very seriously. She did have the most timeless outfit.
It's true.
It's very true. Serious awards. Yes. Anyway, so that was season 2, episode 3 of Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
We are doing, obviously, episode 4 next time, so stick with us for that.
Yeah, we like to go in order. Isn't that weird?
I know. It's such a weird thing to do.
So strange.
We have more Dawson's Creek coming up. If you didn't listen to our most recent podcast about Dawson's Creek, which was season 1, episode 9, definitely give that a listen because it, yeah, was a wild ride. We had so much fun. Even if you're not a Dawson's Creek fan, like, it's like we go off topic so often anyway that it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just a time for us to bullshit and have fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I like that one was definitely like it's we weren't like the biggest fan of the episodes. So that just made it even more
freeing. It made it more silly. Yeah, exactly. So give that a listen. We also just released our podcast with Chappelle, where we covered Clueless. That was a lot of fun. So give that a listen as well. More bonus content. So if you're listening to this, you probably already saw a tweet we sent out. And we did mention it in our Dawson's Creek podcast that we are doing what we have named Mary-Kate and Ashley Month. March?
I call it Mary-Kate and Ashley March.
Oh, well, I guess it could be a Mary-Kate and Ashley Month March. March.
Right, I'll give it to you.
But anyway, so what we're doing, the first podcast that we're going to be doing is a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie bracket. And we're going to be doing that with the one and only TikTok Nicole. So excited. So excited to do that.
Yeah, we've been waiting so long to do this coverage, but also, like, I adore Nicole. I met her, what month was that? Back in August.
It was in August.
And just thought that she's been a delight, like, ever since. So she's been somebody that I've wanted on the pod for like such a long time. So excited for her to come on, to finally talk about it.
So check out our social media to get a copy of the bracket and fill it out. Send it to us. You could send it to shit90spod@gmail.com. you could tweet it at us at shit90spod, Instagram again at shit90spod. Send in your brackets. We're gonna have a lot of fun going through all these. We only picked 16, guys. If we did 32, we would be here all day. So, like, yeah, 16 is plenty. If we want to do another Mary-Kate and Ashley March next year, I guess we could pick 16 of their other movies, because I'm sure they have more.
Yeah.
So definitely send those in. We're super, super, super excited about that podcast. So
yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Me and too. That's by Saturday, March 6th.
Yes. Please get that in if you're going to send in a bracket. Or just send in your thoughts on any of the movies if you want to do that instead. Send in which one was your favorite, which one you watched repeatedly. We all have those that we watched repeatedly. I won't reveal mine here, but super excited to talk about that. So definitely give that a listen when that comes out. Anything else we have going on? I think that's about it.
No, I think that's it. That's it for me.
I think that's it for me too.
Great.
Well, besides community building. But I talk about that every week. Like, go listen to community building. It's great. It's on pushorrecaps.com.
Yeah.
We talk about community. Up next is Navi. Navi's coming on the podcast. I don't remember if I said that to you, Sarah. We love Navi.
Yeah, I love Navi.
Navi is a sweetheart. I'm so excited to have her, a podcast with her again. I podcasted with her before on Wombat Water when we did the pizza pod. And I thought she was a gem and just like so supremely talented that she needed to be on more podcasts. And she has her own podcast now too. So super excited to have her on.
Yeah, I'm pretty jealous. I want to talk to Navi.
I'm sorry. One day we'll get her on here talking 90s about something.
Yeah, I would love that.
If she likes to talk about 90s. Navi, if you're listening, hit us up. Anyway, so thank you guys all for listening. Again, social media, shit90spod. Give us 5 stars, ratings, reviews, all of those lovely things. And we will talk to you guys all next time. Shit90shows.me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.